Please open to James chapter 4, and we'll start from verse 13. James 4, 13 to 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them.
Thanks for reading for us. Welcome, guys. My name's Josh. I'm the Youth and Families Minister. And I've got one question for you. If you look back on your life at the start of high school, how much does the plan that you had for the future line up with now? How much does what you planned for and dreamed for as a child or a young person line up with where you are at now? What's your five-year plan, like Susan reminded us of? I know 5 years ago today, I had a conversation with someone saying, I will not leave the city of Wollongong, I will not move to the North Shore of Sydney, and I will certainly not work in a church in St. Ives. God works in strange ways, doesn't he? The last few years have certainly taken us on a journey of plans being cancelled and challenged and life directions being altered and our routines being changed. And there's much that God has to say today for us. There's much that God has for us today about making plans and working towards the future. I recognize the irony of me as a young adult trying to talk about planning for the future, but please humor me as we have a look at what God has to say. And we ask questions about the nature of how God works in our lives and how God works in our planning and how God works in the way that we work towards a future. Because making decisions is really hard. Making decisions is really hard. Have a look at this quote that I think sums up run out of batteries. John, can we go to the quote, please? Thank you. This isn't working anymore. We tried. There's a quote. Next one. Sorry, everyone. Technical difficulties. There we go. Philip Jensen and Tony Payne have written a book called Guidance and the Voice of God, and I've found that really helpful as I've thought about decision-making and the future in my own life, and especially as I've been preparing for this. And I wonder if you might feel a bit like this. Christians making decisions not only need to weigh up all the earthly factors, but they also have to try and discern God's will. For most, this leads to uncertainty and anxiety. For some, it leads to bitterness and regret as they live their lives in the belief that they've missed out on God's will and must be content with his second best. I wonder if this is you. Oh, thanks, Megan. I wonder if this is you. What is God's will? And how can we kind of align our own plans, our own desires with what he has to say? How do we plan for the future? Well, God has much to say in the book of James, and first and foremost, he has a message to those who are arrogant in the future. James has things to say to us who are far too confident in our own plans. In James chapter 4, verse 13, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on our business, and make money. And this is us. For some of us, we might be spinning the wheels and not really sure what's happening in our lives, but I think for most of us, we have a vague idea of where we're going and what we need to get there and how we're going to actually plan towards this. I think a lot of us are on what someone has told to me as the North Shore Express. Go to school, preferably an expensive private school. That's but Yep. Go to school and then maybe do a gap year. Head to university in the highest possible course that you can manage. Graduate and get the best job that you can that can pay the most money. Maybe get married and have kids along the way. And then send those kids back to that same private school and just keep that cycle going. A lot of us are on this various rinse and repeat life trajectory. And I wonder how often we stop and we think, where is God in this? A lot of us have our lives and even our next few hours sorted. We like to think that we are in control. But this is where James speaks to us. To those of us who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this school or that school, spend time in this university, carry on business and make money. To you who boast in the gain of tomorrow, how tightly do you hold on to your plan for the future? How tightly do you hold on to your five-year plan? And if your five-year plan isn't what happens, how gutted would you be? As we plan, we love to think that we can somehow take control back from God. We love to know what will happen, and we love to just, take that little bit from control from God every time we make a decision. Not necessarily consciously. Philip Jensen and Tony Payne again say this, consciously or unconsciously, we elevate our own decision-making above the power of God. All of us, myself included, in big or little ways, just want to claw back control from God. We want to live as Christians in most of the way that we live, but as we plan for the future and as we decide things, sadly, we live as if God isn't there. We live with God as the tiny little post-it note on top of that whiteboard and not the whole thing. We say we live as Christians, yet pragmatically, we're atheists. And so this is that message to those who are boasting in their gains for tomorrow. This is the secret to decision-making. You are nothing. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. No matter how grand your plans are, they can change just like that. I know that I'm not alone in having plans changed through the last couple of years. COVID, lockdown, and still more are wreaking havoc still as we seek to work towards the future. Holidays cancelled, camps and events cancelled, homes destroyed by floods. I went to a wedding 2 weeks ago with some friends who weren't actually legally allowed to get married on the day that they had intended. They had to put off their whole lives for the sake of things that were way beyond their control. We don't need reminding that things are out of control, do we? No matter our enthusiasm, no matter our confidence, no matter our planning, there are things that can happen that are out of our control, whether it be that call from the doctor or a little bit of wet weather. The future we have in plan, in store for us, isn't necessarily what God has in store for us. And so that's what we need to remember. That's what we need to think about. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, but there is one who does. And so one of the key things that this passage tells us is this. Have humility before God for your future. Have humility before God for your future. Because James says, what is your life? Who are you? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's a lovely little reminder for us that actually we aren't the center of the universe. No matter how great we may think we are, no matter how big and abounding and grand our plans are, our lives are but a fleeting mist. Claire and I went to Byron Bay mid last year for our honeymoon, which was lovely, and we woke up very early one morning. It was freezing cold, and we went hot air ballooning. It was very, very fun. Here's a photo. Oh, that's not hot air ballooning. That was from before. Sorry. Here's a photo looking out over kind of the fields just inland from Byron Bay, and it looked like we were looking over this ocean where there was kind of islands popping up everywhere. There we are. It looked like this sea, and there were these mountains that were actually just looked like islands. The mist kind of covered everything, and it was there, and then 3 minutes later, as the sun had risen, it was gone. It was beautiful, and then it was gone. That's just like our lives. We are here for a moment. We are beautiful, and then we are gone. Even the greatest among us are just a background character in history, a mere grain of sand compared to all of history, and more importantly, compared to God. Long ago, way back in the book of Job, God speaks to Job and he shows him, he gives him just a little picture of how small he is. God says to Job, "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? And later, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades? Can you loosen Orion's belt? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons or lead the bear with its cubs?" God is saying to Job, and God is saying to us, we are very small, and he is very big indeed. There's an eternity past, an eternity to come, and one central character, and that is the God of the universe. The God who authored every page of history thus far and is perfectly fine to keep the world turning without us. So in your decision making, have humility before him. He is very big. We are very small. And so knowing that he is in charge and in control and bigger than our whole futures is actually really, really important. Because if you're feeling a bit defeated about making decisions and life plans and your own arrogance, then that's okay. God wouldn't be challenging our future if he didn't have our best interests at heart, if he wasn't working for our good and for his glory. Knowing that he's in control gives us as Christians a deep freedom to just make decisions, to make decisions knowing his goodness, knowing his greatness, and knowing that all things are working for his glory. God rules all of history past, all the present, and all of the future. There's only one person qualified to do that, and I sure am glad that he's on the throne. So recognize it. Have humility before him and honor him as you plan for your future. How ought we do this? We ought to live the Lord's will. We see this in verse 15. Instead of boasting in our own schemes, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or that. Lord willing, not COVID willing. How do we make decisions? How do we actively trust God with our decisions? One way of reading this could be, okay, if it's the Lord's will, I'm going to go on a 6-month, all expenses paid Europe trip. Is that how it's going to work? I don't think that's how it's going to work. We can't just make our plans and say God's will and then it magically happen. That's not how it works. But how do we actually work out God's will for us? How do we actually work this out and how do we make decisions in light of this? Well, how do we make sure that what we're doing is going to be in line with God's will are two things. One that I mentioned earlier, having humility before God for your future. And the second one, giving honor to God for your future. Honoring God as we save, as we plan. How do we know that sending my kids to school A or school B will be God's will? Which one? Which one will be best? How do I know which uni degree to enroll in? How do I know if I should go for that promotion or consider an early retirement or holiday to that part of the world? God's will can seem so confusing when there are so many decisions that lie before us. There are so many different options. And so our lives sometimes, like I mentioned earlier, feel anxious and trapped as we try and work out how do we make decisions that honor God. The reality is, though, that what happens is God's will, and what God does not will not happen. As we plan and make decisions, honoring God, a big factor should be this. The number one factor should be this: will this make me more like Jesus? Will this decision make me more like Jesus? We see in verse 16 and 17, as James continues, "As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. It is sin for them. This isn't a light matter. This isn't something to just be brushed off. This is deadly serious. James continues his argument that he's gone from chapter 1, that what we do is actually shaped by what we believe, that our faith shapes our actions, and our faith is shown by our actions. Our beliefs and our loves, they drive what we do. This isn't just our speech. This isn't just the way that we show love to others or in wisdom, in humility. This is our whole life. This is trusting God. This is honoring God, not just with now, but with 5 years from now, with 10 years from now, with every single decision. Is this going to make me more like Jesus? Is this going to honor God? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, we see that it is God's will that you should be sanctified. God's will that you, that I, that we should all be made more like Jesus. And so how do we do this? How do we plan knowing that God is in control? Well, we plan knowing He's in control and trusting Him and wanting to have humility before Him and to honor Him as we make decisions. We include Him in everything. We don't boast in our own abilities. We don't be arrogant. We don't fill our calendars and then remember God as kind of an afterthought. We let His good rule our life, rule our calendar, rule our schedule, rule our routine. God is bigger. God is more good than we can possibly comprehend. So trust Him. Now, if this is something that is news to you, if this is something that you're struggling with, if this is something that you might have been doing really well in the past and have simply forgotten, or if this is something that you're nailing, we all need to remember this, that we have hearts that are so regularly arrogant before God, not just in our plans, but in everything. We have hearts that are really arrogant and that need saving. We need, just like all those around us, we need to have a Savior who is able to put God's will before His own. We need the Lord who seeks to honor the Father before everything. Each of us, no matter how good we are at planning for the future or not, have the exact same need for the Lord Jesus, who in the garden submitted to the Father in humility, who honored the Father with His decision. His decision to go to the cross for you, to go to death for me. What a Savior. What a Lord. And so I'm not going to give you the answers for what decisions to make in your life. I'm not going to tell you which school to send your kids to or where to go on a holiday. But how are you going to think about the way you make decisions? How are you going to let God's will shape every decision that you make? Maybe if there are two competing ideas that are excellent, and one will help you serve Jesus a bit more, then we have the freedom to pick that one and to not worry about what we might have missed out on. Prayerful consideration, trusting God, knowing His character, knowing that all things will be for His good, for our good and for His glory. And so let's trust Him with our future. It might be hard for you to comprehend submitting every single decision to God's will, every single decision, but we need to remember that when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, we also accepted Him as our Lord. For those of us who love Jesus, there is one Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, full of grace, full of mercy, and calling us to obey. So we've already signed our life away to Him. We've already put Jesus in the driver's seat and jumped into the back of the car. He doesn't promise to write in the sky what we should eat for dinner, but is working through every decision to reveal His true will, which is for His glory and our good. Now, to close, I wish that I had a really neat story that I could find of someone who was really honoring Jesus with their future and really having humility before Him. But I struggled to find a specific story. Just one really, really good story, because so many of the people in this congregation, so many of the people in this church are actively honoring Jesus and having humility before Him with their future. And it's just so beautiful to see. I see people choose to spend their time meeting with friends to read the Bible. I see people learning more about the world that God has made for them and trusting Him as they study. I see people making career choices that some might say are sacrificial to free them up for serving Jesus in other areas of life. I see people choosing to go to bed earlier to avoid sin. I see people being really thoughtful about whether they should be married or not. And I see people use their free time in retirement to honor and to serve Jesus. What a joy it is to be a part of a community like this. What a joy it is to be able to trust Jesus as Lord and to live trusting Him for the future. Would we all together continue to have Jesus at the center of the way we plan for the future? Let us humble ourselves before Him. Let us honor Him with all we do. Please pray that God would help us do this. Father, thank you so much that you are the sovereign God of the universe, that you are in control, that you are bigger, you are greater than us and our futures. We thank you for the way that you have kept the earth running and will continue to do so, and that nothing we can do can escape your plan and your will. Help us have humility before you for our future, Lord, and help us honor you with the way we make decisions. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.